It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome back to Lightning Radio here on The Q with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio. Bill Moss, nice to have you back, but as I told everyone last week, you had a very good excuse for not being here for Lightning Radio last week. There was a wedding in the Moss family.
It was a good excuse, and there was a wedding, and it was a super-duper celebration of the wedding of Will Moss and the lovely bride, Cindy Ballady. Mm-hmm. And it happened in north of Greensboro in Stokesdale, North Carolina, mm-hmm. on a lake at a wedding venue, and there was about 60 people, between 60 and 70 people there. And there was no emotional meltdown that I spotted anywhere.
Excellent.
Is something you always look for. We even had a power outage in the wedding venue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about 3 hours before the wedding was to take place. But then the power came back on. And then there was some kind of false crisis about whether all the people that we thought was going to be on the shuttle from the hotel to the venue, the hotel in Greensboro, but they were all on there, or they drove separately, so a good time was had by all.
Very good. Very good. Well, nice to have you back, and nice to have you back in the news business here. Let's talk about this week's Lightning. Ask Matt Madison. Every once in a while, does some regular stories for you, and he's done a huge story.
Yes.
In this week's Lightning about the Vision program, the program between Blue Ridge Community College and the Chamber, this incredible program that mm-hmm. I wonder if it's unique to this town, but a great program.
Well, I've lived in other communities that do have some leadership programs like this. I'm not sure it's as well done as this one has been in its history under founding director John Boyd, under current and soon to be departing director the wonderful Ruth Burge, and soon to be leader who will be great as well, Gary Hasse from BRCC. So yeah, we can talk about that. Excuse me. Not even unrelated to the fact that I was out of town a little bit. When we have, people have seen this before with the two-part Latino series that Ask Matt did.
Yep.
I always call him Ask Matt, that Ask Matt did in the summer, last summer. I'll say, hey, I'm in the market for a big project. What do you have in mind? So credit to Ask Matt for conceiving this and reporting it and writing it and getting all the headshots and so on and so forth. There must be, I think he did between 30 and 40 interviews with Vision graduates. I think people can enjoy this just because all the names are in bold of graduates. I defy anyone who's lived in this community for more than a few minutes not to see themselves or someone they know in this story. Even Mark Warwick is there with a headshot there on the front page. So is Craig DeBrew. So is Kimberla McMinn, John Boyd. I mentioned that. Jessica Collins. Not Gary Player, Jim Player the third, and we lead with that. We lead with Matt leads with some of the better quotes from what graduates said. Without Vision, Jessica Collins, and we have the class of each one,
right?
Too, he has a class of each one too, which I think is cool. Without Vision, said Jessica Collins, class of 2017, you would never have a personal conversation with a government official. A sheriff deputy assigned to Mills River, Jim Player III, credits Vision for turning him on to social media. I wasn't on Facebook until we started, he told Matt. That's how our class assignments were passed down. Today, I'm on it daily for the work I do for my church. And then another really good part of it was Matt, he kind of rounded up and segregated into a certain part all the Vision graduates who ended up in elective office. And the first one he talks about is Lindsay Simpson was already eyeing elective office when she joined the leadership program in 2018. The tipping point for her came during a group discussion on drug addiction when she disagreed with a classmate's point of view. It was while in a vision class, she told Matt, that I solidified my decision and decided to run. It was in that moment that I knew I could help reshape the perception of individuals suffering from addiction. And she has done that when she ended up winning a seat with the second highest number of votes in 2019 on the Hendersonville City Council.
One of the things I love about this story, though, is the fact that he interviewed so many folks who had been through the class. So you really get an idea from them how much the class meant.
Oh, totally. And goes all this was really neat, too. Here's some really good blasts from the past. We were the first class. We set the bar, said Terry Wallace, a 1997 graduate who is coordinator of Lifelong Learning Center at BRCC. She praised John Boyd with the way he ran it and how he made them learn. They were strict with us. You had to make a total commitment. And then I thought this was really neat. Mike Gordon, people know him of Norm's Minute March, and Ken Gordon and Marilyn Gordon, the Gordon family of the Norm's Minute March family, was also in that inaugural class. Our orientation, he said, was at a camp in Tuxedo. It was October, and we froze in those cabins. But the field trips were great. Chimney Rock, Party Hospital, Kimberly-Clark. Bob Williford had just recently become the president of the Chamber of Commerce and said, figured that would be an efficient way to learn a lot fast. And sure enough, getting into vision, he said, was an easy decision for me. I came from Tennessee, and I needed to quickly meet the leaders in the community. John Boyd was awesome. It would take someone 10 years to learn what we learn. And who's going to take you to the wastewater treatment plant?
Exactly. That was always one of the favorites.
And people said, I think Amy Lynn Holt said, we listened to Bill Lapsey. I never knew sewage could be so interesting.
Exactly.
Wastewater treatment. And it just goes on and on. And, I mean, it is really long, but it's a really fast read because it's just one direct quote to the next. And they're all... they're all a little bit different, you know, but still in the flow of the river of, this is a really good, meaningful thing. You should check it out if you're new to the community. Yeah. It has that. It has up-and-coming professional folks. It has, like I say, many people. I can count probably five or six or more that ended up in elective office that went through it, but some retirees. That's right. Now, you are a graduate, and I'm not. Right? It'd be a mix of retirees and newcomers,
people
had been in the community a while.
Yep. A lot of our area nonprofit leaders, there's always folks, it seems like, from city or county government, from Party Hospital, the school systems, so often. And I love the fact that I made really good friends in my class that I still have today. They're still in business leadership roles today, or they own their own businesses. And we just have a different bond than some other folks because we did that class together. And, Bill, you and I are very fortunate. At least we have been with Ruth leading the class. On graduation day, they call it Meet the Media Day. So in Ruth's years as the leader of Vision, we've been able to speak to all of those classes coming through. So
Exactly. While I'm not a graduate, I am a participant in that Media Day, which is on graduation day, I think. So that's an honor to be. It's usually in May, where you're there, sometimes other radio, sometimes Legacy Print Daily is there, sometimes not. And that's a fun. The questions are always really good.
Absolutely.
I think people, it seems like the participants do enjoy that Media Day.
I think they absolutely do. And Ruth has always said, look, we want to do this because we want you to learn how to get your message out. There are ways you can get your message to our local media, so let's meet them and let's talk about that.
Yeah, I always bring a handout with how to get news in the Hendersonville Lightning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say, take this home, take this back to your company or your church or your nonprofit agency, and this is how you send us a news brief. So, you're exactly right. When you talk about your lifelong or long-time friends from the program, Kimbala McMahon says the course really helped me get it to know the community, particularly local history, with speakers such as Louise Bailey. But then she goes on to say, just recently I connected with Scott Hamilton in her class way back then, I guess, on LinkedIn, and people might remember Scott Hamilton has really worked his way up. I think he went from here to the Appalachian Regional Commission. He was Henderson County Partnership for Economic Development, but is now president and CEO of the Golden Leaf Foundation, which is a real powerhouse industry recruiting agency, which has lots of cash to recruit industry based in Raleigh. That's helped us get GF Linamard, helped us get Sierra Nevada. We got some pretty decent Golden Leaf grants for that. So check it out. I think people will really enjoy it. There's tons and tons of headshots throughout. Like I say, there must be a couple dozen of those at least. And, yeah, Kristen Dunn, elected official, Jennifer Bauckham, running for office, Will Haney. That's a blast from the past.
That is a blast from the past.
I recruited him as a conservative columnist for the Times News back in the late 90s, probably.
Yep.
1997 graduate went on to be what he is now, the mayor of Mount Pleasant.
I didn't know that.
A suburb of Charleston. Uh-huh. So he went back to his, at least, college roots because he's a Citadel graduate. So really, it's really fun to see people then and now and hear from them.
It's one of those things that if you've ever thought about taking vision, if you read this, you're going to think much harder about taking the vision class. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I decided of a lightning advertising director that's going to be in the next class.
Very good. Good call. Good call, I will say that. Hey, before we go on our break, let's go to the second story that you have here on the front page, and that is well, something that we've been talking about for years, affordable housing. An affordable housing plan nears city okay.
Well, exactly. This is a big deal if it were to happen. It's not the only one, which I'll talk about in a minute. But this one happens to be 80 units of affordable housing, 60 apartments, I think it is, and 20 single-family homes on that, I think it's 19 acres, currently owned by Sherry and Tommy Thompson, Tommy being the longtime clerk of Superior Court and two-term, I think it was, county commissioner. So long, long, long time public servant. But also, and his family has been landowning family for a long, long time. And I guess the Thompsons own this property, and I think they've probably optioned it or to the Housing Assistance Corp for this development. Now, the Housing Assistance Corp would like to get tax credit financing, which enables that to have affordable rents for the 60 apartments. The single-family homes, I think, would be sort of those the homeowner and family. They put some sweat equity into it,
right,
and they get it for a decent price, which you can't get anywhere else in the county anymore. And so that is moving ahead. that goes next. It got the unanimous approval. That's the story. It got the unanimous recommendation from the Hendersonville Planning Board for that rezoning needed for the project, and goes on, to the City Council if there was no delay. I guess that would be the April meeting of the City Council. Not the only one competing for the tax credit financing through the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency. Would you want to hear about two others that
sure,
are applying?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, there is a 78-unit senior housing development at 2620 Chimney Rock Road, and there is that proposed, we've talked about on the radio show before, 60-unit, it's called Hawkins Point. It's one of those pointies, P-O-I-N-T-E, Hawkins Pointy.
The fancy points.
Yeah, yeah, right around Towny Center.
Yes.
Development at 714 6th Avenue West, across from BRC, Wingate Health Sciences Building, and the YMCA. So probably only one of those probably will get approval for the tax credit financing.
Okay.
We could use them all. It's too bad. And but in the case, and at the tail end of the story, in the case of the Housing Assistance Corp, the executive director, Ashlyn McCoy, said it's possible her agency could apply for other grants if it does not win approval for tax credit financing. There are other models, Ms. McCoy told the planning board, for projects like this.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Lightning Radio on the Q. Coming up after the break, Shepherd Funeral Home updates and Acosta Trail updates here on Lightning Radio.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Cold weather is coming, so you'd better be prepared. Kaysen Oil has fuel oil and K1 kerosene readily available. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated Kaysen Oil, serving our community for over 40 years.
And don't forget, for local weather anytime at your fingertips, call the Kaysen Builders Weather Line at 696-1610. That's the Kaysen Builders Weather Line, 696-1610.
Joseph Lauder Clothier announces the final week of the last call sale.
Final reductions have been taken on all remaining fall and winter merchandise. Shop for savings up to 75%. Select from sport coats, silk ties and bow ties. Save on long sleeve, wrinkle-free shirts in solids, checks and plaids. Choose a long sleeve quarter zip pullover in washable cotton. All crew neck, V-neck, and cardigan sweaters are reduced up to 75%. Visit the store soon for exceptional savings during the final week of the last call sale at Joseph Lauder Clothier. New spring merchandise arriving daily.
Hey, it's almost spring cleaning time. But what about those musical instruments?
Yep, they need occasional cleaning and service as well. And that's where Tempo Music comes in. Let them properly clean and service those musical instruments and electronics for a better sound and a longer life. And if you're a guitarist or know one, you gotta check out the new rechargeable guitar tuners. No more buying batteries. So get rid of those batteries and get those instruments their spring cleaning at Tempo Music on Main Street.
And we're back with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. Couple of big weekends coming up for the Henderson County Republican Party. Next Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, is the 11th District Congressional Debate from 1 to 4 p.m. at Blue Ridge Community College. We will be carrying that live on WTZQ. You'll hear more about that as that gets coming. But this coming Saturday, Madison Cawthorn speaking at their GOP breakfast.
Yeah, our United States Representative Madison Cawthorn is going to race to the scene of the Henderson County Republican Men's Club at the Cascades Resort on Sugarloaf Road at 7:30 a.m. This coming Saturday. So check that out. And the Republican, I expect we might have a pretty big turnout because they have kind of a free-for-all. We let any qualified, filed candidate for Republican primary show up and talk for a couple minutes. So I suspect we might have quite a few minutes of that before we even get to Representative Cawthorn.
Sure, sure. Interesting.
Because we got a bunch of them that are coming up.
But again, that's this coming Saturday?
It is. And they meet and they say, check out Hendersonville Lightning or HendersonvilleLightning.com. It's on both. It does say, if you want to eat, that reservations for the $10 buffet breakfast are required. It may be made by emailing. It's called NOIRS, which is... Bruce, what's his name, the organizer of it, and his email is noirs, I guess he doesn't like paying taxes, at AOL.com.
Right.
Bruce. But he has had an email for a long time.
Sure, yep, Bruce Hatfield.
If he's got an AOL.
Yes, sir. Bill, let's go back to something that we weren't able to really dial down in last week because you were gone, but it was in last week's Lightning, of course, and that is the update on the Shepherd Funeral Home, the actual funeral home property itself.
Yeah, well, many thousands of people have read it, as because we can tell that when we see the number of visits on HendersonvilleLightning.com. But just wanted to circle back to that because this is the business property now that also, after the home had been has been foreclosed upon and ordered to be sold at public auction on the courthouse steps or somewhere in the Grove Street Courthouse on April 14th. And this was another case where you seemingly can, this loan against the property of almost $800 was taken out in March of 2018. So that is not, that's a little bit earlier than the mortgage, the basically second mortgage or when they borrowed against the home around the time when they no longer had any income from the funeral home because the state of North Carolina in November of 2020 had padlocked it and had suspended their license conditionally and then, of course, revoked it permanently just this past September. So now this is that's valued on the tax books at the building at almost $900,000, the property at right at $1 million for a total value of $1.9 million. But we should note that we show up for the early last week, I think it was, yeah, it was, for the auction and sale of the residential property that Melody Shepherd lives in Kenmure. And Michael Edney, the attorney for Ms. Shepherd, produced a piece of paper that was from the trustee that was going to sell the property to say, the foreclosure has been canceled. That was our interview with Mark Pinkston, the court-appointed substitute trustee. The account is in satisfactory position, and the lender called off the foreclosure. So they pulled that one out of the fire, and that is, I guess, okay for now. So we'll see if something similar could happen to the business property, which this is speculative, of course, but in the Lightning tracking through official records, everything we could or that tipsters told us about, Melody and the late Tom also own a four-bedroom, four-bath beachfront condominium in Sarasota, Florida, valued on the tax books at $1.7 million. Is that owned? Is it owned free and clear? Is it not too highly leveraged or borrowed against? Don't know. But is it possible that she could clear up this business property, which has a huge amount, is probably worth more. It probably would go on this market these days for well more than it's on the tax books.
Sure, sure. Of course.
Can she salvage it? We don't know. They have between now and April 14th to do that.
Okay.
We'll bird dog that, too.
Okay. All right. Acusta Trail. We got some Acusta Trail updates. A couple of
the news
updates,
just keeps getting better, might say, on Acusta Trail. This came out this week where there was, it's a wonder what you can do with something called a technical corrections bill in the North Carolina legislature.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a pretty big appropriation back late last summer, they announced. A great deal of money, a total of like $292 million for Western North Carolina. And by they, I'm talking about chiefly Senator Chuck Edwards and Representative Tim Moffitt. Well, that part of that was that dam removal, which for whatever reason that was not considered to be feasible, wasn't going to happen. So in this, quote, technical corrections bill, they end up shifting $7.5 million to the Acusta Trail to continue to cover. Remember, previously there was a $5 million NCDOT or I forget which, maybe Federal Highway Administration appropriation for the construction. Mm-hmm. So they are doing, they being the Friends of Acusta Trail, the Conserving Carolina, and other supporters of this 20-mile greenway from Hendersonville to Brevard, they're doing very well on fundraising and grants, and there may be more to come. Also, in that same meeting, when this was mentioned on Wednesday morning, the commissioners also authorized the county staff to apply for more grant money from that same Federal Highway Administration source that they got the previous $5 million.
Yeah, it's exciting to see the support, the financial support, because of course that's what it's going to take to get it to the finish line. So I look forward to seeing some quick work happening on that Acusta Trail.
Yeah, and I just mentioned, let's say the easternmost trailhead, right?
Uh huh.
So there's news about that, too.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
And this could be big too.
This is very big. This is very big. You know why? I got one word for you. Interconnectivity.
Thank you.
Because of interconnectivity, their grant writing is going to look better because interconnectivity is a key trigger of interest. Are you connecting, are you Acosta Trail connecting to another greenway that goes another right now around 3 or so miles and eventually could be even way more than that? And that's what this would do.
And the more of that you get, the more tourism dollars that the studies show, the more tourism dollars that come in because of that.
The longer the trail, the longer the connected, don't have to go on a road with cars trail, the longer the trail, the more of an attraction it is.
Yep.
So what this would do, that we've talked about this one other time before, as I recall, and that is in sort of the end game of the negotiations with Watco, the railroad track owner, Watco told Conserving Carolina, you know, we don't really even want this part from Busy Bend, which that's where right now we think of the trailhead, the Hendersonville trailhead around Busy Bend, Canoga. We'll just give you this. We don't want this part from there to Jackson Park. We'll throw that. We'll throw that. It's about a mile.
It's as far as Jackson Park. I was thinking it was closer to Main Street. So that's great.
No. It crosses Main Street. This and so what? The door I was trying to go in here.
Sorry.
Was the city of Hendersonville is seeking a federal transportation grant to fund this easternmost leg of the Acosta Trail to connect the Ocklawaha Trail at Jackson Park and to the historic and also the historic 7th Avenue district.
Yep.
So check that out next. A week from Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Tuesday, March 29 at the City Operations Center. You can go comment on this Above the Mud, being Mud Creek, Above the Mud extension with these three interconnected, there's that word, projects. Yep. A new greenway along Mud Creek to connect the Ocklawaha Greenway Trailhead at Jackson Park to the Acosta Trail at Busy Bend. Improve this frequently flooded section of the Ocklawaha Greenway. Remember that?
Yep.
And streetscape improvements on 7th Avenue from the railroad tracks to the Ocklawaha Greenway. So they are combining a lot of projects that have been talked about or in the works for a long time. So that is really good news for the Ocklawaha Greenway and for the Acosta Trail and for, like you say, extending a 20-mile greenway possibly to 3 miles, 5 miles, and then beyond.
Yep. Very good news. Looking forward to hearing more of that. Bill, there's still plenty more in this week's Lightning. How can people get their copy?
By going around, although I apologize. Examining, analyzing. I have a new circulation logistics person on board where we're going to do better. We're apparently going to have to go up on the press run because we're having sellout after sellout. And so look for that if you can find it. When last I checked, we did have some at Hendersonville Lightning and other locations around town that weren't sold out yet. So check all those out.
Okay.
And pretty soon you'll see some new locations as we get that analyzed and get that changed. By going to HendersonvilleLightning.com, which is an easy way just to make sure you get it in your home on Lightning Thursday, joining the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning via U.S. mail. Or, easiest of all, call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.
If you drive a